Good morning and welcome to Wanda's Picks, the Black Arts and Culture program of the African Sisters Media Network. We are having a special broadcast today to talk about the history and background, as well as current work that's going on with the October 22nd Coalition to Stop Police Brutality, Repression, and the Criminalization of a Generation. And we have one of those members of that generation, Noche Diaz, joining us this morning. Good morning, Noche. How are you?
Good morning. I'm up.
Right. Noche is a young revolutionary. He's calling us from New York, and he's been active with the Stop Mass Incarceration Network and a member of the People's Neighborhood Patrol of Harlem. He is currently targeted by the New York Police Department in the Bronx and Manhattan District Attorney for his stand against illegal actions by the police. So, Noche, why don't you tell us sort of what it means to be a young revolutionary and to be targeted by so many police departments in New York City?
I guess the biggest thing for people to know is when someone like me is being targeted, what's really being gone after is all these young people who I, you know, represent and also who I'm, you know, part of fighting for. You know, I like to tell the story of when I spoke to a group of high school students, you know, about 15 years old, and I was speaking about the stop and frisk and what goes on in the fight against it, and including the trials I face, and one of these young men in the room walked out almost immediately as I started talking, and later on I got a chance to catch up with him, and we were talking, and, you know, he had just lost a brother to the police who murdered him, and he didn't really want to talk about it, but he did say that he wanted to be part of making sure that nothing happened to me, because you see, someone like that who's actually had that kind of experience and you know, that hurt which weighs on them and really, you know, dominates their lives, and, you know, when people stand up for them and show a way that they can be part of, you know, standing up against that and putting an end to it, it's very inspiring, but it also kind of hurts to hope, and then to the idea of, you know, when someone like that does get taken by the system, when they're targeted in the way that I've been targeted, it would be a real blow for them to just get away with doing that under the rug. And you know, what's important is that through this, people find the ways to become part of that fight through this legal defense, you know, become part of that fight to put an end to the kinds of things that, you know, that we're going to be talking about throughout this program. But you know, that's one of the biggest things that's impacted me and kept me strong in the face of, you know, in the face of all this is knowing what it's all for and what goes up there with me when I take the stand.
Yeah. So what is the Stop Mass Incarceration Network, and what, tell us what it means, the stop and frisk. What is that policy that the New York Police Department initiated? Tell us sort of like, you know, give us some background about this policy that you were protesting.
Sure. So, you know, I don't know how many of your viewers are familiar with the NYPD, you know, form of this racial profiling, stop and frisk. You know, similar things go on around the country, but, you know, in New York they have a official policy called stop and frisk, and, you know, this means that, you know, if you're walking to school or you're walking to work or you're coming home, at any time, a cop can step to you, throw you up against the wall, go through your pockets, violate, you know, what are supposed to be your basic rights. And if you talk back or you try to assert that you have these rights or act like you should be treated like a human being, it can be interpreted some kind of excuse for the cop to take you off to jail. And so you can't, you know, if you're a young person coming up in New York, you can't really walk the streets without that hanging over your head, that at any moment, you know, your day, your week, or the rest of your life could become determined by, you know, some cop deciding to step to you. And yeah, I've talked to, you know, again, 15, 16 year olds who talk about having charges and cases open on them from the time they're 15 or 16, having, you know, criminal records now, because, you know, they can't walk the streets, they can't go to the playground without being harassed and by the police. You know, another young man told me he had to go to court, and by the time he was 15, he had been harassed so much that the judge gave him a piece of paper that that he could show the cops every time they stepped to him to get him to back off. But now that he's 16, that paper is no longer valid, and so now he can't, you know, his mother's afraid to let him walk outside and hang out with his friends or to walk by himself. You know, this is something that happens, you know, not just a few times here or there, but almost 2,000 times every single day, and overwhelmingly targeting Black and Latino youth, and, you know, almost never finding anyone doing any kind of criminal activity or violating any kind of, you know, even littering. And so this is, you know, really just a policy and a effort that has criminalized thousands and thousands and thousands of young people and really generations. And that ties into, you know, why the Stop Mass Incarceration Network actually chose this policy as its first sort of target in terms of building determined mass resistance. It's because what the network was formed around is dealing with this, you know, these generations where you know Black and Latino youth who have been warehoused in prisons. You have, you know, in this country 2.5 million people in prison, subjected often to torture-like conditions in the solitary confinements in the shoes, and in fact over there in California there were these hunger strikes that were very inspiring, where people were protesting those conditions, and there are even things going on now such as truces among different nationalities, stopping the fighting of each other and to strengthen their unity in fighting their conditions. And this epidemic of incarceration and that is targeting Black and Latino youth that has been going on for generations is what's being taken on when we target things like Stop and Frisk, which are kind of like the front line, the pipeline to this mass incarceration. You know, treats these youth as criminals guilty until proven innocent if they survive, you know, their encounters with the law enforcement to prove their innocence.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're probably familiar with the Ken Burns recent documentary film that's making the film festival circuit, called The Central Park Five, and story of the jogger that was attacked. And then these five young people that just happened to have been in the park that evening were picked up and questioned and intimidated and then put in prison back in 1989. And the evidence was not there, and the media just made them into monstrosities and villains. And then later on, they were released because it was found that they were incarcerated wrongfully. And I think that was just recent. That was like 2003.
Yeah, it was recent.
And they serve.
And how many people heard? You know, how many people even know that these young people were just railroaded in this way? I mean, everyone knew when it happened that the monsters were all these, you know, young people of color, and you know, sort of that was used to paint, you know, whole swaths of young people in that way. In fact, Donald Trump took out ads in the city calling for the reinstatement of the death penalty in New York.
Mm-hmm.
In relationship to that case. But how many people found out that, you know, actually, no, that's not what happened. It wasn't these, you know, it was a horrible thing that happened to that woman. You know, don't make any mistake about it. But this, you know, this is exactly, you know, you're exactly right to point to that in terms of just sort of this, they were just going after any young person of color would suffice. You know, same thing, similar thing with Troy Davis, where it was like, they, you know, a cop was killed, and they wanted a black man. Anyone would do, and they lynched him.
Right. You know? Yeah. And then you look at what happened when the reverse happened. You know, when a white vigilante killed, you know, a black child.
Right.
And nothing happened to him. What's going on with him right now?
You know, I actually am not up to date with where things are at right now with the Trayvon Martin case. Actually pointing to it again is right after George Zimmerman got away with at first murdering Trayvon Martin, before the public mm-hmm. outcry. You know, shortly after that, there was a woman who was actually under the same law arrested and put away for a sentence for 20 years in prison because her husband, who was threatening to kill her, she grabbed a gun and fired a warning shot and backed mm-hmm. him off. No injury involved at all. No attempt to injure or even kill him. And she's facing 20 years for supposed attempted assault under the same laws that wow. let George Zimmerman walk free. And I don't even have to tell you, she was a black woman.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. And what's so crazy about it is that these things keep on happening over mm-hmm. and over again. Yeah. So talk about the significance of October 22nd, the founding of the Coalition to Stop Police Brutality, Repression, and the Criminalization of a Generation. I was reading on the website that came out of conversations among PAM Africa, International Concerned Family and Friends of Umi Abu Jamal, and MOVE, Akil, Al, Jundi, Community Self-Defense Program, and Angel Cervantes, Four Winds Food Movement, Omawale Clay, December 12th Movement, and Carl Dix, whom you know really well. I know everyone yeah. really well, but I know you know him really well. Revolutionary Communist Party and Keith McHenry, Food Not Bombs, and we know Food Not Bombs, and I know PAM Africa, and I think I know Omawale Clay. So talk about, this was back in 1996, I believe, and there were some conferences held, and just talk about this movement, because what people really know is about the Stolen Lives Project, which came
right.
out of this particular organization. But why don't you talk about the history of this October 22nd coalition?
Well, I'm afraid I may not be able to satisfy a lot of the curiosity about the origins of the October 22nd coalition, because I was about 8 years old at the time and probably knew nothing about what was going on when that was being forged. This was a broad coalition of people who came together and were trying to look at the fact that all these different communities and all these different people were facing this epidemic of police violence, brutality, and as the title of the day of protest, police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation, and there needed to be a way in which that there was expression given to the fact that this was a nationwide epidemic and that people weren't dealing with this or that cop or this or that precinct who had carried out this or that murder or this or that brutal act or this or that policy, but that this was a national epidemic of police violence targeting people of color, especially black people and Latinos, but now also this ramped up hysteria over the last decade, profiling Muslims, Arabs, and South Asians, and carrying out raids and deportations against immigrants, this is sort of the mission of the coalition is to raise this to a national level of attention and to find different creative ways where people can express their determination to put an end to this epidemic, so that's sort of what the coalition represents. And then, like you mentioned, the Stolen Lives Project is a project to document all the lives that have been stolen by law enforcement. And that's been spearheaded also with another big part of what's featured in the work of the coalition is getting the voices of the family members out, who have been murdered by the police and having them really out there on the front sharing their struggle, their hurt, but also sharing their determination and their desires to be part of putting an end to the situation where so many people have to, lose children, brothers, sisters, and loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and there's some particular actions happening in New York. What's happening in New York? Why don't you give us some of the things that are happening this year, because I know some things are happening not just today, but tomorrow and on the 30th with regards to trials and things like that. And you've got, I believe, four. You're
right.
Appearing at four boroughs, I believe is what you all call it in New York.
Yeah. Four boroughs. Five different arrests and
yeah.
But I'll speak on that a little bit today. You know, today in New York, and people can go to the website for the October 22nd Coalition to find out where, you know, in their local area there's going to be actions. But in New York, there's going to be a demonstration and a march and a rally and speak out beginning at 4 p.m. at Union Square. And as part of the build into that and coming off of that, there's been an effort from those of us in the Stop Mass Incarceration Network to have different posters and banners with different sentiments, that are encompassed by the theme of the day, signed by the youth in the different neighborhoods around New York, you know, in Brooklyn, in Harlem, in the Bronx, and to get these signed and to plan a day coming up that we can actually deliver these banners, these signatures, and these sentiments and these hopes to Rikers Island and send that message, which is a sort of where many people are warehoused. It's it's a prison and very very, you know, it's an interesting fact. Very few, like something like less than 10%, I think, of people who are warehoused in there have even been convicted or had a trial. Most of them have been part of taking, what these plea deals, because they're caught up in situations where they could face, a tremendous amount of jail time, and so they end up pleading to things that they may not at all be guilty for, in order to avoid even greater sentences. But anyway, delivering that sentiment to Rikers Island, and people are doing different things around the country. More needs to happen in terms of supporting the prisoners and the hunger strikers out there in California and those who are fighting to build that unity in the struggle right there now. A big effort in New York has been the fight against stop and frisk, this front lines policy of criminalizing the generation and then the repression that people have faced for standing up to that. I think some 80 plus people have been arrested in these stop and frisk protests. And this Tuesday, the first wave of people from the Queens arrest are going to be going up on trial, which includes, Carl Dix, who was one of the founders of the October 22nd Coalition. And in Queens, they've really gotten away with outrageous kind of repression, where they've added, in the middle of the proceedings, they added an extra charge, which carried an extra year, maximum sentence in prison. And then they've also just last week changed the language of the charges to be broader in their scope, and to try to, to make it more obscure in what people are being charged with, so that they can get away with really punishing those who are really on the front lines and busting this question open on stop and frisk. I mean, if you're in New York, and probably a lot of places, other places in the country, you can't really be in New York, especially without hearing something about stop and frisk every week, if not more, if not every day. And this wasn't true a year ago. This wasn't true before people stepped out and put their bodies on the line and really stood up in a heroic kind of way and busted this open. And, it's not like they were the only ones who were fighting this, and that's not the point, but they were a crucial part of elevating this and sort of breaking the sound barrier around stop and frisk, which had, been hated by a lot of people, and people had been doing things around, but had not been a major question in society. And now, those who are trying to preserve this in whatever form they can are trying to punish those who are part of stepping out against it. And so, that's beginning this Tuesday, is the trial in Queens. And then I myself, like you were saying, I was one of those people who was part of organizing the first actions against stop and frisk, and I was actually in that first demonstration, not part of the main group of people who was arrested. I was actually singled out in the crowd and dragged out by my arms and legs, and had additional charges piled up on me, and then later on, when I was arrested again for speaking up for some of the youth who had been actually protesting the Trayvon Martin murder and had faced police retaliation, and including a young man got thrown through the window at the Chase Bank, and other youth were being targeted, and I spoke up for them, and I was arrested again, and those two cases were put together, and on October 30th, which is next week, I'm going up for trial for those two cases, and it carries a maximum sentence of about 4.5 years. And then, yes, I was part of, other arrests in the Stop and Frisk protest, and then another arrest in the, the Stop and Frisk protests in Queens and Brooklyn, and then another one in the Bronx where they were beating a Jamaican man in the middle of the street who they had dragged out by his dreadlocks and ripped his hair out and left all over the street and looked like they were about to kill him. And, a number of people, including myself, wouldn't just walk by and stood there to watch, and were arrested, including, a woman was put in a headlock and dragged to the ground and arrested, and her partner was then thrown through which they seemed to love to do, they threw him through a window at the Metro PCS and arrested him too. And in these arrests, in my case, in all these different arrests, the DA has pointed to my quote-unquote pattern of behavior, to try to argue sort of prejudicially that I'm clearly guilty simply by the fact that I've been accused in all these different instances. And to the extent that there is a pattern, the pattern is what the NYPD is doing to young people all over the city. And then as the Coalition to Stop Police Brutality, though, Two Coalition points out, it's a national epidemic. Awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was looking at the website to see where some of the actions are happening today. And in the San Francisco Bay Area, at 4 o'clock, there's going to be a rally at Oscar Grant Plaza, which is 14th and Broadway. That's in front of City Hall. And then there's going to be a march to the Oakland Jail, the Alameda County Pipeline to prison. And for information, people can call 510-206-0742 or the email address is octoberoct22bayarea@gmail.com. And there's a Facebook page on that. And I was reading that people are asked to wear black. Is that the color for today?
Yeah, yeah. How could I forget? Yeah. today's... being in New York, it's one of those things where people are wearing black every day. But that is an important way that people, could show, even if they can't come to a protest, this is part of, finding different creative ways that people can, express their determination to oppose, this kind of brutality is, to wear black together, or one of the things that we did in a high school actually one time was at all the number of students wore black ribbons with the names of someone either murdered or beaten by the police. It was a very beautiful expression, and then also it was a way that a lot of people began to talk about and know about that people were acting on that day and mm-hmm. calling this out.
Right. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So. I want to give a couple of more places that where people are going
sure.
to be gathering. I'm just going to just mention the cities. Again, it's visit October22.org, October22.org, and then /assembly .html, and you can get the listing. But there are actions happening for the October 22nd, and it was last updated yesterday, so it's pretty current. Albuquerque, New Mexico, the 1 p.m. Assembly in front of the mayor's office. Atlanta, Georgia, is a 4 p.m. assembly at Troy Davis, Woodford, formerly Woodruff Park. And Austin, Texas, there's a website given. Boise, Idaho, there's a website. There's an email given. Boston, Massachusetts, at 8 p.m. Motivate Monday at Church of Boston. In Central Valley, there was something that happened on Saturday, so you missed it. Chicago, Illinois, there's a meetup, quite a few. 1 p.m. at 63rd in Halstead, 3 p.m. at Division in Pulaski, 3:30 at Milwaukee Division in Ashland, Northside, and 5 p.m. citywide convergence in front of the Cook County Courthouse, Cook County Jail Complex, and there's a phone number there. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, there's a 5:30 p.m. assembly at Miller Park Flag Pole, corner of MLK in Georgia, and there's a 6 p.m. march downtown and rally. In Cleveland, Ohio, there's a 3 p.m. across the entire city gathering and a rally at 3:30, and at 4 o'clock there's a march to the county jail. In Dayton, Ohio, there's an email address, and there's a website, OccupyDaytonOhio.org. In Detroit, Michigan, there's a phone number and an email. Freehold, New Jersey, there is an email address. Fresno, California, there's a 5 p.m. vigil at the corner of North Street and Mariposa Crossing Downtown Library and Fresno Police Department. In Greensboro, North Carolina, there's a 4 p.m. rally at the new Guilford County Jail, South Edgewood Street and West Sycamore Street, and a 5:30 march through Smith Homes Community, Freeman Mill Road, and Florida Street. In Houston, Texas, there's a 4 p.m. convergence at Market Square Park, Travis, and Preston downtown, and a 5 p.m. march to Houston Police Department headquarters at 1200 Travis. And it says, bring your whistles, drums, and signs. at 7 p.m., there's a brief Know Your Rights workshop and Cop-Wise session with People Street Project Houston. In Humboldt, Eureka, Redwood, Curtin, California, there was something on the 11th of October, there was something on the 13th, something on the 16th, something on the 20th. Oh, and today, wow, they've been doing things all month, October 22nd and 23rd, there's Days of Action Against Police Brutality, No School, No Work. So you should call to find out, okay, if there's no school, no work, what are they going to be doing? In Kansas City, Missouri, there's a 3 to 5 p.m. CST. There's an internet radio show out of Kansas City, Missouri. We'll be broadcasting Talk of the People. It is the criminal injustice system. And supporters and participants are encouraged to tune in and call 818-920-7145, 818-920-7145. In Los Angeles, both a gathering at 2 o'clock at Pershing Square, and then 3 p.m. they're marching to City Hall, and then at 4:30 there's a rally, and at 6 o'clock there's a vigil. And you can visit october22nd.la@gmail.com, and there's a website. Minneapolis, Minnesota, there's an all-day mobile Know Your Rights training, 8 a.m. start at Nicolette Mall at 7th and Nicolette, but join anytime. And it says, well, here's the streets with our Rights Mobile cart to teach people about their rights when dealing with police. We'll be out during morning and afternoon rush hours and at homeless shelters throughout the day. Well, that looks good. And call 612-874-7867 for their location. Again, 612-874-7867. And there's an email address there. In New Orleans, Louisiana, there's an 11 a.m. at the New Orleans Police Department, and they're real notorious, like New York Police Department and Oakland Police Department, I think, is getting ready to go into receivership.
Yeah, they're all worse.
Yeah. They're all pretty bad, yeah. Yeah, can I think of a good police department? I don't know. in New York, at 4 o'clock, assembling at Union Square South, Manhattan, for teach-in and rally and march. And there's a phone number, 866-235-7814. Again, 866-235-7814. And that's a toll-free voicemail and fax. And there's a website. And then Oxnard, California, there's a 5 p.m. at Del Sol Park. And in Phoenix, Arizona, there's a 7 p.m. race trader politics workshop at Rusty Spoke. And this event is in recognition of October 22nd as the National Day Against Police Brutality. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at 4 p.m., folks are going to be gathering at the Freedom Corner. Raleigh, North Carolina, there's a phone number. Richmond, Virginia, there's an email address. St. Louis, Missouri, 6 o'clock at KIENER Plaza. in downtown St. Louis. And San Bernardino, they're going to be doing something on the 24th from 11 to 1, Police Brutality Awareness Day at San Bernardino Valley College. That's good. In San Diego, California, there's a 5 p.m. gathering at City Heights Performance Annex. And they're going to march down University Avenue to I-15 overpass for a short rally and then march back to the park for speakers. San Diego Victim Roll Call, Information Booths, and more. And San Francisco, I already mentioned that we're going to be gathering at Oscar Grant Plaza 14th and Broadway at 4 o'clock. Seattle, Washington, there's a 5 p.m. assembly at Westlake Park, 4th and Pine in Seattle. The rally starts at 5:30, followed by a march through downtown Seattle. In Santa Cruz, New York, there is an email address, criphopproject@yahoo.com. In Washington, D.C., there's a gathering, starts at 5 p.m. at National Day Against Police Brutality and Mass Incarceration Community Forum. And then Thurgood Marshall Center, this is sponsored by the NAACP, National Black United Front, Jobs Not Jail Coalition. And there's a phone number, area code 202-525-3449. And then in Canada, in Montreal, Canada, at 6:30 p.m., folks are going to meet at 580 Guilford, and that's a Metro, and I don't know how to pronounce this in French, but it's L-A-U-R-I-E-R, and that's St. Joseph Exit. And so there are a lot of websites and email addresses for that if you're in Canada and Montreal. Oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's an impressive list of different things going on.
Right, right, and it's continuing. I mean, it's like, you know, October 22nd is the national day, but then, you know, as your work proves that it's just, you know, 365 days of the year that, you know, when one needs to be working around stopping the police repression and victimization of people. So this will be working for us, not killing us. Goodness gracious. Go ahead and comment on that.
Oh, well, I mean, actually, I was going to comment on that in closing. like you started off saying, you know, I'm a young revolutionary, so I come at this from that perspective, and, you know, this is, you know, one is it's very important to have, you know, a national day where people do sort of have simultaneous actions that puncture sort of the atmosphere and cause, you know, a spotlight to these questions. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, it's like fighting that is part of also projecting that we actually need a whole different way where, you know, these police, this is not the role that the police play. You know, the leader of our revolution, Baba Vagan, talks about how when we have our people's police on the streets, they would sooner die themselves than to go around wantonly, you know, brutalizing and murdering the people, because that's what you're supposed to do if you're out there to serve and protect people. And you know, the patrols that you mentioned is part of you know, in today's circumstances, you know, and in circumstances of resisting this repression from the police, we can sort of model and project a different way that things could be. And so I would also encourage people to go to revcom.us if they want to know more about that revolution. You know.
So give us the address again, arrest.
Oh, www.revcom.us.
Okay. Well, super. And also, I know you didn't have a whole lot to say about it, but voter suppression. And because one of the reasons why I was reading that October 22nd was chosen as the day for the first action, and it ended up, you know, National Day of Action being really successful, so the day actually stuck. It's because, you know, it was a time when everyone was back in school and it was before the elections, if it was an election year. And it's really interesting also that it's also the day that the Black Panther Party was founded, October 22nd. Yeah. So I just wanted you to talk a little bit about voter suppression, and you know, and why, well, I think it's important that we operate on all fronts. So I think we need to be operating on the electoral front as well as other fronts, for, you know, to realize our to claim and exercise our sovereign rights as citizens and as human beings.
Well, you know, in terms of the date, you know, October 22nd and the day of protest, you know, it does matter that it's going on in the midst of, you know, all this politicized atmosphere where they're drawing people into the political process, even, you know, though I feel like people are being drawn in on a very narrow foundation. But one of the things that never gets talked about in these elections is this epidemic of police, you know, brutality and repression and the criminalization of the youth. And you know, it's a very you know, fitting time to be out in the streets, you know, pushing that into the forefront, into the conversation, when it's, you know, when people are being brought into a politics that is sort of not, you know, not sort of, but is actually not addressing and not dealing with these questions. And from different perspectives, we can all appreciate the role and importance of that. And then you know, and then yeah, in terms of like the whole, you know, new Jim Crow and the epidemic of mass incarceration, a big feature is the fact that, like, over generations now, and then in particular over the last you know, year, there's been tremendous effort to you know, politically disenfranchise, you know, people of color, black people especially, this is done through the legal discrimination against people who've been convicted of crimes and felons. And so you know, there's this tremendous robbing of even the rights that were sort of conceded through the civil rights struggle, you know, the right to vote and all that, you know, is even being robbed from people, even while, you know, again, from my perspective, you know, we have to fight for people's rights and against the suppression of that, even while I don't think people should exercise some of those rights, because the terms in these elections are very often choosing between one or another form of the continuation and acceleration of this, you know, and frankly, too often, you know, everyone sees that, you know, Mitt Romney and the Republicans are relying on a base and themselves representative of a sort of racist hysteria, and that would be no damn good for the masses of people, and especially black people in this country. But too often, I think the Democrats and Obama get a free pass, and sort of like, you know, I remember, you know, two things very vividly. One is when Sean Bell was murdered and the police were put on trial, they were found not guilty of all criminal charges, and Obama told people that they needed to, you know, accept that verdict. And then when the police in Oakland killed Oscar Grant, he said nothing, but he did speak and congratulated and celebrated the Oakland Police Department as heroes at a funeral for a police officer, and while never addressing what happened to Oscar Grant. And, you know, too often they get, you know, people are, you know, assume that, you know, that they're on our side, and you know, while all this goes on, you know, under their, you know, getting a pass from Obama and the Democrats. But yeah, so I mean, that's yeah.
That's mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. And so, can people come to support you at these various trials?
Yes. The trial, you know, beginning this, you know, Tuesday, October 23rd, is in Queens County Court, and it'll probably continue throughout the week, maybe into next week, and people can come from 9 a.m. to probably throughout the day to support. And it's, you know, it's very serious what's going on in Queens, you know, this really criminalization and repression of protest and trying to jail, you know, I can't remember exactly the number. I think it's about a dozen people, you know, myself included, in that group, again, for really stepping out and being on the front of resisting this criminalization of the youth. And then yes, next week on the 30th of October in Manhattan Criminal Court, people can come out and support me and demand the, you know, they stop the prejudicial prosecution of you know, young revolutionary.
Right, right. And is this should people call the Queens District Attorney for you as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they should call, you know, the Queens District Attorney definitely to drop the charges against all the freedom fighters who are on trial. For me, you could probably call every district attorney in New York except for the Staten Island District Attorney and demand that they drop the charges against me, because I'm facing charges in Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Manhattan. But Manhattan is the most immediate one and the most serious in terms of facing, you know, jail time of up to maximum 4.5 years.
Do you have the phone number for the one in Manhattan?
Let me see. I do. The Manhattan DA's office, Cyrus Vance, is 212-335. Yeah, 212-335-9000.
And his name is Cyrus what?
Cyrus Vance.
V-A-N-C-E?
Yes.
Okay, Cyrus Vance. 212-335-9000?
Yes. I do not have the phone number for the Queens DA.
I have the Queens DA. His name is Richard Brown, and the number there is 718-286-6000. So that's 718-286-6000. And so we want to say we want them to drop the charges against Noche Diaz.
Yes, and then for the, in Queens, you know, against all the stop and frisk freedom fighters.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And that includes Carl Dix, Jamil Mim, Robert Parsons, and Morgan. Rodewald. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Wow. Well, it's been really great having you on the show today to talk about, you know, your work you know, the persistence with which, you know, you've been in, you know, doing this work, which I guess shows by how many boroughs want you, huh?
it does show something. But, you know, also, like, what's really important to know is the way that people have actually stepped up, you know, in the defense of all the freedom fighters, but even, you know, in particular around me, it does point to, you know, how, you know, not just we can persevere, but how we can actually make advances in the face of, you know, when we step out and try to stand up against them and they come back at us and try to unleash repression, coming back even stronger and building the kind of networks of support and defense is part of actually building that fight. And you know, so, you know, on the one hand, it is really good to persevere, and that's important. And if people give in, you know, that could end up, you know, crushing a lot of people's hopes and desires. But at the same time, there needs to be, you know, advances made, and that's why it is, you know, it is important that people do show up to demand, you know, that you know, there's no jail time for these stop and frisk freedom fighters.
Right, yeah. So, tell us a little bit before you get to, you know, these various activities that are happening there in New York. Tell us a bit about your family, you know, the type of parents that you have, siblings, or the community that you grew up in that would be the type of fertile ground that a young revolutionary would rise from.
Well, I'm not sure it was so simple as just the fertile ground. You know, I can't, you know, again, I was, you know, not that special. You know, I grew up in the Bronx. You know, I remember the police violence and harassment was sort of an assumption. I'll tell one story. When I was going to high school, I remember this very vividly. You know, there was you weren't allowed to be in school during lunch hour or after school hours. You know, and they had police in the hallways. You know, or school security, but usually sometimes there would actually be NYPD, and they would harass you and drive you out of the school. And then if you were on the street hanging out with friends, you'd also get driven out and harassed. And if you tried to go to any of the nearby places like coffee shops or places to eat for lunch, you'd also get harassed and threatened to be getting summons for loitering and disorderly conduct and everything like that. And there used to be this place I used to go to get coffee, and you know, it was kind of the only thing I had was to go get coffee there. And I'd get harassed, but I'd do it, you know, I'd do it because that's the only, you know, that's kind of all I had, and I also love coffee. But then one day they sort of took that, they closed down that coffee shop under eminent domain and opened up a military recruitment center. And right there, you kind of have concentrated this, you know, criminalization of a generation who they have no future for other than prison or to go fighting and dying for the same, you know, system that's given them no future. And, you know, that, you know, yeah, it's a situation that's facing many people and you know, millions and millions of youth in the inner cities. And, you know, they don't, you know, this talk about, like, all the crime amongst people and even the way, even the real ways in which people do carry out violence against each other. And, you know, you never hear these stories when you hear the, when you hear that talked about. You never hear the stories of, you know, or whether it's the one I just told or whether it's the ones I was telling earlier about these young people who, you know, by the time they're 15, you know, they're telling me, they're coming to the conclusion that if you're not a white person in the society, your life doesn't have any value and it doesn't matter. Unless you you know, are one of those few who are, you know, as they say, make it out and get out of where you're from and try to get into something else. And so I feel a tremendous responsibility to people, you know, who are in that situation, you know, knowing that, you know, I have an important role to play. It's, you know, again, like I said, it's a big part of why I'm not going to back down. But again, you know, I'm not just a victim. I'm not just someone who went through that and experienced all that and sort of an angry person who's lashing out because of how they've been treated. You know, that is part of it. But for me, it was getting connected up with the revolution and with Baba Vagan and really seeing that not only are things messed up, but they don't have to be this way, and we actually can do things in a completely different kind of way. And when you have that sense, you know, these sacrifices in that light, these sacrifices are not too much to bear.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I want to you know, wish you much success, you know, on the path that you have taken, and definitely keep us posted on what's going on with regards to these various trials. And I'm going to definitely make my phone calls and have them drop the charges today.
I really appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us, and good luck today and tomorrow and on the 30th. And, and hopefully. And so what is the goal? Is the goal to have sort of a nation where there's no police repression and suppression and the people are governing themselves?
Well, oh, great question. I like how you snuck that in the last 10 minutes. But well, you know, I will, you know, again, I can, you know, in terms of final goal and you know, where I want, you know, where I see things needing to go, you know, I come at it from a standpoint of a revolutionary, and that's not necessarily the same thing as the views of the coalition, you know, the October 22nd coalition or the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. So that being said, you know, as I was saying before, we do actually have a, you know, we have a constitution for a new socialist republic in North America that you can see at that website revcom.us, in which, you know, it gets into the rights of the people and the work we're doing today. You know, like I mentioned, these patrols, they don't just walk these neighborhoods to stand up to the police, you know, violence and repression and the way they violate people's rights. They do that, but also in the neighborhoods where they work, they distribute their points of discipline, and they talk to people about these points of discipline, you know, about how we don't, you know, women and men are treated and viewed as equals in these patrols, you know, and we don't degrade, you know, women or you know, we don't use words like nigger, bitch, or hoe to refer to people, because that's not what we're modeling. And you compare that to how these police act every single day, where that's almost a routine part of how they interact with people, is to degrade them, to put them down. You know, I had, you know, a young high school student talk to me about how he was late to school, so he put a breakfast sandwich, a croissant, in his pocket, and the cops stopped him, and they claimed his croissant. croissant. He was using his croissant to hide drugs, so they ripped it apart. And when they found no drugs, they ate it, and then they sent him off. You know, this has nothing to do with, you know, with serving and protecting people. It has to do with, you know, a system and a society that has, you know, no future, no use for these youth. You know, massive unemployment. You know, the jobs that people, you know, black people especially ran all over the country looking for have been shipped over to the third world. You know, and so there's not even a useful way to exploit people anymore, and they're just, you know, they're just criminalizing them and warehousing them in prisons, and this is why the police have to act the way that they do. Now, you know, whether the individual cops are good or bad or whatever people, the police, as the police, are playing that role and to enforce that setup, and that's why, so long as you have this system, you will need these kind of, you know, and from my view, you will need these kind of police, and with a different system, a different society that's not based on exploiting people, you wouldn't need these kind of police, and you would have, you know, security forces, as I said before, that we talk about, that would, you know, sooner die themselves than to carry out these kinds of acts. And that's how we would train. You know, it's another story. I'm sorry, I'm a storyteller, but here's another story. I had a brother-in-law who I can't remember if it was him or his friend or brother, but they were training to be a police officer, and they didn't make it all the way through training. But while they were being trained, they were told that every time they interact with someone, every time someone on the street, you know, talks to them or asks them a question or interacts with them, that they, in their heads, they should be imagining themselves shooting them dead, because if it came to that, they shouldn't hesitate. You know, you think about that and compare the morality that goes along with this setup to what I was talking about, you know, just now, you know, the idea of every time you're interacting with people, imagine our security forces would be trained to imagine themselves dying for these people, not taking out these people and killing them. Because that's, you know, that's what it would mean to serve and protect, not what goes on every day in this society.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there is a lot of work to do, and you know, it's the challenges are great, you know, but it's the alternative is just to have this nightmare grind on, and you know, again, Carl Dix, you've talked about, has called this a slow genocide, which could easily become a fast genocide. And you look at what's going on with these elections now, and you know, focusing a little bit now on the Republican side, you have, you know, they get up and they make their speeches and they talk about how Romney carried out, was it Romney or no, I'm sorry, it was during the debates, it was one of the other candidates who had overseen the largest number of executions in his term as governor in the history of that state, and the crowd cheered and celebrated. You know, you see, and you could see the basis right there, that if they needed to, if this system got into a deeper crisis, you know, this slow genocide that's been grinding on could leap to a fast one. And the point is not that it will, but that the fact that that's even a possibility or one of the trajectories that are going on says about all you need to know about what kind of society we live in.
Right. Yeah. Well, Jens, thank you so much for joining us. Okay, it's been a really great conversation. Looking forward to having you on again.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You take good care.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, will you take good care?
You too. Thank you for having me. I want to thank the listeners, I look forward to doing this again.
All right.
You have a great O2 too.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Right. We're gonna play a song by Hunter, "Poetry Every Breath of Life."
Yeah. chocolate milk for free. Told him don't stop shooting, just stop shooting each other. Prosper well, young travelers. Every breath of life, a new beginning. Nothing worth more than a woman with a baby strapped to her back. That's infinite prosperity. Keep your heart pure, actions divine. When Arisha come down, it's all to tune in time. I often trip when I drive, and my thoughts are of you. I can't wait to see your eyes. I can't wait to see your eyes. Out the window in the ghetto yelling, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Breathing life, thanks and praise when I paper said another black man died. Too much so, we become desensitized. Tired of being shot down. Coming from the side of the town that we come from. Each his own, body, mind, and soul alignment. Recycling lost souls, you know how it goes. Longevity comes burying me. They try to bury me and take away prosperity. But look what y'all just gave me. A brand new little baby.
Every breath of life, a new beginning. Yeah, yeah. Every breath of life.
Coming up over right situations. Virtues, patience. They say 10,000 chalices lit the night sky. Anticipation, that's how I'm feeling. Blessings on the new journey I've been given. As I take in a deep breath, clean the shrine with sage. On the doorsteps, yeah. Open to the CD of survivors, listening to sounds of salvation. Blessings, the answers I need you've been given. For the fire, I am.
Thank you. shadows of love that's so divine. Peace and happiness through all.